Maybe this is the real reason why I didn't go to parties in school, is because I was too busy playing Pokemon and trading Pokemon cards.
I didn't feel the temptation because I'm stinking Pokemaster.
Hey, welcome to ARC Youth Conversations, also known as AYC, where we talk to students about God, life, and everything in between. Now, let's get started.
What's up, everybody? ARC Youth Podcast.
All right.
We're here. It's just Nate and Mike.
All right.
Nate and Mike. And what was it that you, what was your thing in college? Dirty Mike and the Boys?
Dirty Mike and the Boys. This is a true story. Yeah. From a movie. I did not create it. Any good nickname is not something you make. It's something given to
that's,
you.
That's a good point. Well, it's Dirty Mike and DuBois.
DuBois.
Me.
Yeah.
Nate.
So we talk about random things. We also talk just about spiritual stuff. The last time it was just Nate and I, we talked about, you know, am I saved?
Yeah.
Like, what is salvation? All the gray areas, the things that people in the traps people walk into. And then, you know, of course, we ended with a little bit of Star Wars nerd talk. Before this podcast started, we were talking about what Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Which is turning out to be possibly the greatest trilogy, as far as ratings go, the greatest trilogy of all time.
Yes. I don't think it's as easy to watch as far as, I feel like older people will have heart palpitations with the second movie. Just with all the visuals going on, they'll wonder if they're, you know, tripping on LSD again. fun fact, boomers are the most drug-taking generation per person.
No way.
Yes.
Boomers?
Yep. Last I read.
Actually, that tracks.
Per person.
Because for millennials, it was so drilled on, like, do not do drugs.
Right. But the only reason we knew that is because somebody did it before us.
And we saw how messed up a lot of them got.
And they're like, cocaine is bad.
Yeah. And I've seen it. And I don't want that.
Yeah. They're like, how do we know that? Just like, because you're Uncle Jerry. Because I know a boomer that did it. Yeah, it's like someone went first, and that was my parents' generation. It's nuts.
Because back then, people didn't know the effects of it long term.
They didn't know the effects of LSD, I know that.
Yeah.
Cocaine had a huge surge in the 1890s in America, where it was like in everything, in cigarettes, and drinks. Everyone always harps on Coca-Cola being like, hey, cocaine. But you have to understand, contextually in their time, cigarettes had cocaine. Other drinks had cocaine.
Yeah.
It was used as medicine. Like, it was not deemed as addictive till about the turn of the century.
Dang.
So everyone's like, cocaine. I'm like, a lot of things actually had cocaine. It was very popular.
I've always wondered, like, what do we do now that we're like, oh, that's not a problem. And then in 20 years, we're going to find out.
I think it's completely detrimental. I think it's caffeine.
Really?
Yes.
But hasn't caffeine been a thing and around for, or do you
forever.
Think it's? But we've just, you think we've embraced it more in the last few years than ever?
I think for our generation, it's going to be maybe our caffeine level consumption.
Huh.
I could see where that would be the quote unquote cigarettes of our generation, where you look back and you're like, dang, they were chain smokers.
Our kids are going to look back and go, dang, they tore through some monsters.
Yeah, dad had a bang energy at 6 in the morning. They're like, I don't have
and
a problem.
And we're going to be like, what's the big deal?
I can stop anytime. Can you hand me that Celsius over there? I think it's probably going to be caffeine. I think every generation has their thing. I think Gen X really was the generation that started falling out with cigarettes.
Mm.
Because you and I have talked about this. We, as children, used to see a lot more cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more. There was smoking and restaurants.
Non-smoking was such a thing. You would go somewhere or not go somewhere based on if it was smoking or not smoking.
People don't understand that I have a nostalgia for chlorine and the smell of nicotine because of growing up in the 90s.
Huh.
Because Splash Town, people would smoke.
Yeah.
And then you'd be around the wave pool.
Yeah.
And it just... unfortunately, it's nostalgic. Is this a plug for cigarettes? No, it's going to kill you. Now, are vape pens worse? Found out they are.
Really?
Vape pens are actually way worse than cigarettes.
Why?
More chemicals and metallic toxins in it.
Huh.
I remember when they came out, no one knew what they really did.
Yeah.
Outside of no secondhand smoke.
Right.
And some of them had no nicotine. It was just flavored oils.
Yeah.
And so, I remember, like, literally I was in college and people were getting them and everyone's like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. Like, people are just blowing clouds. It's confirmed. Like, it is worse. You're actually taking in more nicotine than even cigarettes did. So, like, big cigarette companies, like, won in the end. They're like, fine, don't smoke cigarettes.
They won.
Here's your new.
Here's a better
right. And, thing. And it's nuts. It's killing people.
Dang. So don't vape.
Yeah, vapes are going to be, once again, we're like, who would you ever do cigarettes? Give me my vape pen. vaping actually does hurt you. It actually does.
And is that more of a millennial thing or a Gen Z thing?
Started with us.
Okay.
They pitched it to us.
Yeah.
But Gen Z is, I think, more addicted to nicotine at a younger age.
Yeah.
Because I know we have students that have had nicotine
problems,
and you wouldn't know because they never smell like it.
Right.
No one's like, man, that guy's on nicotine.
That's true.
That guy's on nicotine. You can't tell.
Yeah, because back in the day, you would know.
You would know.
Like, they'd smell like it, or they'd look it.
Your car?
Yeah. Their car would smell. Yeah, totally. But now
that old cigarette smell in the closet.
Never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You can't tell. I can't tell if someone's on nicotine.
Huh.
I can tell if someone's on THC.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a little slow to it because I didn't smoke it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, they're a little bit too, like, chill and or joyful right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, yeah.
Especially if they're not normally like that.
Yeah, when it's just like a tick off. Yeah. I get that. All right, so with today's topic, drugs aside.
we will not continue to talk about drugs.
Yeah, no kidding. I think with matters of faith, and last time we talked about am I saved, I think the other thing that can get difficult is, okay, if I'm a Christian, does that mean I'm going to be lonely?
Hmm.
And I think people have a hard time fully committing to the Christian lifestyle because it puts boundaries on your social life.
Yeah.
And says, I just am not going to do that.
Yeah.
Which means you have now sacrificed social events and partaking in certain things that would compromise the convictions of your own soul. And what have you thought about that? Because I remember that tension, and some of those things weren't as tempting to me as others.
Yeah.
What was that like for you in high school?
Yeah, I think I had a little bit of a different experience in high school, in the sense of I kind of, and honestly, probably the Lord, I know my parents prayed hard for us, me and my siblings. So I think I was never really tempted to party. I was never really tempted to drink. And I think it was mainly because of the people I was around. I mean, talk about being lonely and stuff. I got really plugged into my youth group. And we've talked in the past about size of youth groups and stuff. And I think one of the things about being in a smaller youth group is I think it's easier to have a little bit of a tighter knit group, because if there's only eight of you and all eight of you are showing up every Wednesday and every Sunday, like, you're probably going to get fairly close to each other.
Yes.
And so we were all pretty close. We had a pretty close knit group. And so I just knew on the weekends, like, that's who I'm hanging out with. Mm. And they weren't going to parties, and I wasn't going to parties.
Right.
And so Erica was probably the closest to it, honestly, because she was a cheerleader, so she hung out with people outside. But even then, like, we started dating our 10th grade year, and she was not really, like, she'd get invited to things, and she may have gone to one, but then was kind of just like, this isn't my scene, and then left. So, you know, it's always hard because I mean, really what I did was just really early on, somehow, somewhere, the Lord really just saved me and protected me from a lot of those things. And I think what that comes from is, it's kind of the whole mentality of, all right, if you're an alcoholic and you want to stop being an alcoholic,
right,
don't have alcohol in your house.
Yeah.
Right. If you're an alcoholic and you want to stop being an alcoholic, don't hang out at bars. So it's that idea of, like, cutting out whatever in your life it is that you're trying to escape from.
And I
struggle with. And, like, if you never put yourself in that situation, you'll really never be tempted by it.
Yeah.
And so I think I did that kind of unknowingly. I put myself in places where it was really never even going to be a temptation in the first place.
Right.
You know, and then I went to a Christian school, you know, a Christian college. So it's not like, you know, I don't know. What about you? Like, did you have a different experience?
Honestly, I'm going to be very transparent here. I think until you've been in the environment and you have friends that are in it, it's very easy to not understand why people struggle with partying and having sex and doing drugs.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, like, we'll have homeschoolers or private Christian schools of like, why are you doing that? Why it's hard. Like, brother, you don't have any friends that do. Like, you don't have, so that temptation's not even presented to you.
Right.
Or you don't really have many friends at all.
Yeah.
And so you can't be judgmental from that end.
Right.
At the same time, though, I know people give themselves excuses.
Yeah.
Of just being like, when a girl's drunk, she gets looser, and guys know that. And when they get, when guys get drunk, they get more social. And look, I've been to parties where I understood, I didn't agree with it. I'm not saying I'm in agreement at all. It's illegal at this age.
Yeah.
But people were so bad at talking to each other that I was like, I see why you drink.
I
like,
get
you
it.
Don't
yeah.
know how to communicate. Like, we don't know how to get along.
Yeah.
And so drinking just kind of glazes over at.
Yeah.
And I remember being in a huge house party of at least 50 people and being the only sober one there. And with another guy named, which is, he never drank. Ironically, we called him Matty Light after a beer. his name is Matt. And so
was he,
like the
was
irony,
he one of the, was he one of the boys with Dirty Mike?
Yeah, it was just me and him. We would, you know, we'd go sober and I hated it. Cause I was like, I'm not even, I don't get to be dumb because I'm not drunk.
Yeah.
And I don't get to have fun conversations cause everybody's like in squirrel mode blackout right now. And everyone would get sloppy and it would get very emotional and dramatic and people start getting falling over, getting too loud in your face. Yeah. And I wasn't trying to be judgmental. I was just like, unless I'm getting drunk, I'm not going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
And people got the gist that I wasn't going to do it. And so I started getting less invites. I will say I hated being alone on the weekend though. That was the tension. Because my church group, some of us kind of couldn't stand each other, to be honest.
Yeah.
Some of us were like,
which is a very real thing.
There was
in
a
youth
girl
groups,
and I
like,
that we fought more like siblings.
Yeah.
Like we were just more like brother, sister. Like we just disagree all the time. And they lived far away. I lived in the Woodlands and they lived in like Willis and Montgomery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, they're way out of the way. And only when we tried hanging out I had a church group for like sophomore year, which was great. And then they all graduated. And then junior, senior year was just floundering.
Yeah.
And then I started getting more socially accepted at school. And when I was around those environments, drinking never appealed. I always thought it smelled like garbage and I thought people did dumb stuff. And it just wasn't temptation for me.
Yeah.
Women were, though.
Yeah.
That was my issue.
Yeah.
Of like, just to be transparent, I was like, I knew I needed to be pure and be a virgin, but I did not want to be.
I do, 100%.
I did not want to be.
Yeah.
And I knew if the opportunity presented itself, I was going to struggle.
Yeah.
And, but I also was like, no, I'm good. And everyone thinks they're good until they're in the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they recognize, what are you really made of? What's really in you?
Yeah.
And so I would say I understand the pain, the tension of, man, it's bad to admit out loud, but you do want to sleep with somebody and have sex and just have those feelings and just talk to somebody and have them cuddle in your arms and just them be yours. And I wanted romance.
Yeah.
That was my temptation. I wanted a relationship. I wanted romance. I wanted all of it. And, but I also knew the conviction of my own heart. So I was always with battle, just at battle with that. And so I took that out and going on dates, trying to figure out how. And I remember the first time that temptation of a girl that I could tell was okay if I went farther. And I went, whoa. It was like a wake up call of like, oh, I thought I was too religious and high mighty for all of this. And then I went, oh, there's something in me here. And I was like, okay. And it was just kind of like, I had more mercy.
Yeah.
For friends that you know, found themselves in compromising positions and too isolated and things happened. But I think I know the tension of like, I don't want to be alone, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to be doing nothing because that's what bored losers do. And at that time, you know, that was the perspective. I'm not saying it is. I think keeping your dignity and your respect and honestly keeping your convictions, can be hard, but is worth it.
Yeah.
Than you being socially accepted.
Yeah.
Because people give up their bodies, their minds, their emotions, their spirits to be accepted by other people and find out in the end it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
And they've been treated like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those people move on.
Yeah. And that's, I don't feel like I can offer much from the side of, I'm tempted to do these things in high school. What do I do? Because I didn't go through a ton of that. What I can offer, though, is now that I am where I'm at,
right.
I look back and I go, I'm glad I stayed away from that. You know, so it's like, I, from someone who I was absolutely not perfect, but that side of life that I didn't necessarily have a draw to, looking back, I'm not like, oh man, I missed out. Oh man, all these people I didn't get to hang out with. Oh man, all these parties that I didn't get to go to.
Yeah.
I look back and I go, thank you, Lord, that you protected me from all that.
And I agree. I didn't like the party scene.
Yeah.
I didn't, I just wanted to be social.
Yeah.
It wasn't really about party. I just wanted to do something.
Be with people.
Yeah. I just wanted to do something and not sit at home and have friends.
Yeah.
But the problem is the cost of that was potentially getting arrested.
Yeah.
At a party. And I'm like, it was just too high. So you deal with your insecurities of, am I accepted? Am I cared for by people? And do I have to have friends that just are strange now because they don't want to do it? Like, it feels like shallow thoughts, but I know people go through it. We just have a hard time admitting it.
Yeah.
Like admitting that we have shallow, physical, carnal thoughts of this is what I want. Because drinking, for me, non-temptation.
Yeah.
Drugs, for me, non-temptation. Hated it.
Yeah.
I saw what it did to friends, and I'm like, I don't, this is not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had older siblings that did stuff, and I was like, it never worked out.
Yeah.
It never worked out for them. And so there wasn't the same temptations, but I did have some.
Yeah.
I had the relational ones, the sex ones, the just the one to be acceptance. And someone said it like this: students and people get in trouble and they do wrong things because they're bored most of the time. They're bored. And then you make decisions to make yourself not bored, and you end up in the wrong place with the wrong people. You do that repeatedly, you're doing the wrong things.
Yeah.
And and I think that's where it's like, we talked about last podcast. I've noticed I've talked about this a lot more. Praying for friends is worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
I've prayed for friends since I was in the second grade. I learned that, like, I need give to pray me friends. For friends.
Yeah. Lord, give me friends.
And the Lord helps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he does. And it might be just one.
Yeah.
But yo, I'd take one over none.
Dude, like, and that's what I'm finding is the, whenever you're younger, the quantity of friends seems important. Like, I need to know as many people as possible, and as many people need to know me as possible.
Yes.
I remember even like in high school, we were a 5A. We had a pretty good size school. Erica got voted class clown.
Yeah.
And we were dating, and I was in, like, you know, I didn't get nominated for anything. So I had a moment where I was like, does anyone even know who I am? Like, does anyone even know me? You know, but because it's like such an important thing. The older I get, the more I realize, really, the amount of friends almost has nothing to do with it. If you could have one or two solid people in your life, like, that will make night and day difference.
Yes.
Yeah. So don't chase numbers, you know, don't chase.
That's the lie of,
of
your youth and into your 20s. Mm-hmm. You need quantity over quality when it's reverse.
Yeah.
You really need quality over quantity.
Yep.
Because that'll go the long term.
Yep.
I shared it at Vibe Night. I could tell by looks on the crowd, and I told him, I said, I'm probably going to get clowned for this because nobody's going to really believe me. But I remember, getting a senior superlative, but it was the most arrogant senior superlative you could ever get. And I could tell they were not fully joking. I used to dress really nice. I was a thinner man at the time. But I got most attractive male for my senior class in my large, 5A, what used to be 6A, 5A class. And I remember being like, this confirmed my popularity. I was a uncool kid in ninth grade. And I knew I had social influence.
Yeah.
And I was nominated, I think, for best personality. I was like, of like three people. And I remember being like, this is it, man. Like this is kind of confirms that I put the work and it happened. And it, I remember being like, and it's not enough.
Hmm.
And all these people, you can still feel lonely.
Hmm.
And all this acceptance that I finally have, was it worth it?
Hmm.
And ultimately, no. Ultimately, it was not. I knew some good friends. We don't talk anymore. None of them. None of the friends that I made and people I connected with that got me to the place of being socially known in my high school.
Yeah.
I'm super close with.
Yeah.
And because I went the quantity route and I got it, but you still go home and go, okay, so who's there though?
And the danger is to start to sacrifice your own self to appease all these people that you think that you need around you.
It was starting to happen.
Yeah. You'll start sacrificing your morals and your character and who you are and what you stand for. You'll start sacrificing all that just so, you know, like I can get this recognition from these people you don't even talk to anymore.
Right. You know? My dad didn't really like it when I got it.
Hmm.
My parents, of course, my family roasted me. They're like, you know, how ugly is your class? Like, man, that must have been rough looking. And I remember he looked at me and he's just like, I'm a little concerned though.
Hmm.
You have popularity now and you know these people. He's like, because it means you compromise something.
Wow.
He's just like, I'm afraid you might have compromised something. And I think I never shared my faith. I can tell you that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Wouldn't.
Hmm.
I was nice.
Yeah.
People knew I was a Christian. I was known as a very comedic guy. I mean, that was like my whole goal was to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And dress nice. And I did it, but I compromised, I think, convictions.
Hmm.
And I never shared my faith with anybody.
Yeah.
And I regretted that.
Yeah.
Two people all of high school. And that was it. It reminds me of this scripture when it comes to quality friends. And I think we can kind of bring it to an end on a uber casual note. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend, I said this at a friend's wedding. One of my closest friends, I said it to him during a speech. I said, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity.
Hmm.
And you know the difference.
Yeah.
When you got somebody that's like, you've been through something like conflict with them and you come out on the other side better friends, you got something special.
Yeah.
You really do got a friend that matters. I didn't get that till I was in college.
Yeah.
But if you can get that in high school, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. My friends and I weren't honest.
Yeah. Well, and that's honestly, I mean, I'm same way. Like looking back, I don't talk to anybody. Eric and we got married a year after we graduated high school.
Dude, y'all were like 1950s style.
We were. I mean, I proposed to her a month after we graduated.
Crazy.
And then got married the next year. But I mean, we talk all the time looking back at my groomsmen and her bridesmaids. We had like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
None of them do we talk to today.
Right.
You know, and I mean, we just graduated high school. So they were all of our high school friends and all of our like college friends and stuff, but it's like, we don't talk to any of them.
Right.
And so it's hard in the moment to think it and to see it that way. But if you find yourself chasing friends, chasing quantity of friends, caring a lot about your image, about how people view you, step back and think, you know, what's more important with this group of people, what they think of you for this 1 year of your life.
Yeah.
Or in 10 years, looking back and going, I'm proud that I stood for what I stood for.
Yeah.
And I stayed consistent with the Lord, stayed consistent with my morals and my character.
Well, I tried my best, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's different when you don't try.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, there's a difference between I tried or I didn't.
Yeah.
You know
when you're not trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Man, right. We're going there.
Yeah, we're going there.
Right? We don't have the students here to stop us.
We're going straight. This is good. I pray there's a lot of deliverance for it because I think there are more conversations to be had about being like, okay, let's talk about what you really want.
Yeah.
And then we can get to where God meets us in that place.
Yep. Yeah. Totally.
And when we can get there,
then
we can get past the Christian posturing and just get to the nitty-gritty. Yep. And I think it's good.
Which honestly, that's another great topic to talk about. Just
posturing and
Christian posturing. Because there's a ton of it.
A ton of it.
I mean, we've all been subject to it. yeah. seen it, probably done it ourselves. Yeah, you know, it's
surprisingly,
like there's so
I
much
haven't
of...
done a mask message. You and I yeah. grew up in the era of when they talked about masks.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to it for sure. Well, hey, I know it feels good to, I think, end on really on this note, and it's good real quick. Nate, this is for you. Superior Gen 1 Pokemon. Let's go the middle evolution.
Mid-evolution. Are we counting them if they only have two evolutions? Or we're saying we're counting all the ones that have three and
let's
we're only
going
to...
Let's do one for two evolutions
okay.
and one for three.
Mid-evolutions? And are we talking like... Who's gonna win in a battle? Like, dude, I
no,
need
just
know
your
my,
favorite. What's
oh,
on
my
heart?
Favorite?
Yeah,
what's on my heart? Yeah. Raichu's always been a favorite, man. Right. Like, what Pikachu to me was always so lame, and the fact that in Pokemon Yellow you couldn't
right
turn him into Raichu.
Right,
I mean, come on,
yeah, that's a good point.
Man, if I'm building a team, I'm going Raichu. Mid, still staying mid. Mm-hmm. I'm going Charmeleon right before Charizard.
Yeah.
I'm probably
easily forgotten one.
Yeah, he is. I'm probably going Dragonair, which is Dratini was first one, and then Dragonite. Remember the yellow?
Yes, know that one.
So Dragonite's kind of lame. There's a middle name, middle one. Dragonair is pretty sweet.
Okay.
He's like one of the only in first gen. There were only like three dragons in the dragon type. So nice. Like if you had one of them, you were pretty set.
Right.
So I'm building that for sure. Actually, I'm gonna sub Charmeleon for Arcanine. So I'll take Raichu, Arcanine.
I actually
I'll
know
Dragonair.
What that one is.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I'll take Dragonair.
Yeah.
I probably need one more. Like, I mean, you always got to have a psychic. Gen 1 psychics dominate everything
right.
all the time.
Right.
Because their only weakness is fairy. And in Gen 1, there are no fairy Pokemon. So psychics just dominate. So you got to go Kadabra.
Kadabra?
Kadabra.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
see, did you just see how. did you hear how effortless that was? That was
unplanned.
No breaks.
That oh, and I can go for another hour.
I mean, it was just changing of gears. It was just...
Maybe this is the real reason why I didn't go to parties in school is because I was too busy playing Pokemon and trading Pokemon cards.
I didn't feel the temptation because I'm stinking Pokemaster.
I was too busy evolving my War
someone's
Turtle into
be,
a Blastoise.
Someone's got to catch them all.
Someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us on this one. We will catch you next week. Thank you for listening. We'll see you
later.